Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
Today we are going to study the last four verses of Ruth chapter 1, 19, 20, 21, and 22. Ruth chapter 1, 19 through 22. Let me read this and keep in mind that Naomi doesn't want to be called Naomi. She wants the people to call her Mara. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them. And they said, Is this Naomi? And she said unto them, Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. You know what she said? She said, Call me not Naomi, call me Mara. Call me Mara. Why would she ask for a name change? Why would she suggest they call her something other than her name? Well, Naomi means pleasant, and Mara means bitter. This formerly pleasant woman had left 10 years before with a husband, and now she had come home a widow. She had left before with two children, two boys. And she had come back now childless. She was a widow, and she was a mother without her children. Yes, indeed, she was bitter. You know, and as we get ready to study this particular passage of Scripture and some of what bitterness entails in her life and therefore in your life, the question comes up, have you ever felt like saying, Call me Mara? Have you ever felt like saying that? Call me Mara. Something has really got you and made you bitter? Have you ever felt that way? I'll tell you, it's a very real experience. It's a real experience in your life. It's a real experience in your friend's life, or in your family member's life, or in somebody else's life that you know. I've had experiences like that that have caused me to want to head toward bitterness. You've got to be real careful there. Why? Because bitterness causes some things in your life. Bitterness, according to this text, I mean, there are other things we can learn about bitterness for sure, but bitterness, according to this text, causes you, first of all, to blame God for your circumstances. Look at this in verse 20. Naomi said, Call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. She said in verse 21, I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? You see that? And in verse 13, she had said to her daughters, The Lord has gone out against me, the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. Do you see that? Look at all those things that she's accusing the Lord of doing. I went out full. He brought me home empty. He has dealt bitterly with me. He has testified against me. The Almighty has afflicted me. And somehow or another, all of these circumstances that happened to Ruth were not only God's fault, but God actually did something to bring them about. In other words, it's not just that, God, you didn't stop my husband from dying, or didn't heal him when he could have been healed, or didn't stop my sons from dying when they could have been healed, or whatever the case may be. You did it. You brought me home empty. You testified against me. You afflicted me. Your hand has gone out against me. Do you see that? She is very, very upset, and her anger is directed directly to the Lord. Let me say something to you. Sometimes there is somebody that's very close to you that gets blamed for your circumstances. But ultimately, if you would be honest with yourself, your anger truly is against the Lord. You've just picked a more convenient target, more convenient because you can see this person and you can exercise some vengeance against them. And also, you're still afraid to admit that your bitterness is directed toward the Almighty. But if you would get down on your knees and ask the Lord to search your heart, in fact, you would find that in your bitterness, you have blamed God for your circumstances, just like Naomi did. You say, well, I'm ashamed to admit that. Well, you might very well be, and in fact, that would be the appropriate response to say, I'm ashamed to admit that. But if it's true, at least admit it, because then you can go to work on it. If you continue to pretend to yourself that you're not bitter at God when you are, you'll never fix the problem. You can never address the problem. You can never seek forgiveness because iniquity is purged by mercy and truth, and you're not dealing truly with God. You're not even dealing truly with yourself. When you're bitter, you can be sure God is in that mix somewhere. He's blamed for your circumstances. Certainly Naomi did that with the Lord. You say, well, that's just so rude of her to do that. It was the way she felt. It was exactly how she approached the subject. And it resulted from bitterness. And I'll tell you something. If you really are upset with the Lord, you need to be honest with yourself about that. She was. Was she right? No, she wasn't. No, she wasn't. But at least she was truthful. Have you ever felt like saying, call me Mara? Bitterness causes you to blame God for your circumstances, but that's not all. Have you ever felt like saying, call me Mara? If you have, you'll notice that the bitterness has caused you to overrate your past blessings. To overrate your past blessings. Look what she said. I went out full in verse 21. I went out full. She didn't go out full. Not really. I mean, if she was full, she had no business leaving. If you go back to verse 1, it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. Why did they go there? Because they couldn't find anything to eat in their own country. They weren't full. She didn't go out full. Not really. She's overrating her past blessings and saying, boy, I really had it made until I went over there. And Lord, you sure see how that thing goes? Her circumstances in the past and her blessings in the past were not really as good as she was making out. It's just that it's easier to hold on to your bitterness when you look back in your past and say, boy, it sure was a lot better back then than it is now. It probably wasn't as much better as you think it is. It's just helping you to maintain your bitterness when you overrate your past blessings. She wasn't really full. She left in a famine. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you something else. She wasn't full. She had two sons, but she didn't have any daughters-in-law. She didn't have any grandchildren. She wasn't full. A mother who has sons, from the time that she has those sons, begins to look forward to the grandchildren. You say, how do you know that? Because when she has them, she'll tell you, if I'd have known that raising grandchildren was this good, I would have had them first. There's something in that about continuing on the generations and seeing the offspring of your offspring. She didn't have any daughters-in-law. And at the time, apparently no prospects of marriage. They had to go off to Moab and marry. And I'll tell you something else. She's overrating her past blessings in this, that she said, I went out full. She had a husband that led her into Moab. Moab wasn't any place for her to go. I mean, when you think about it, it wasn't. Moab, those are enemies of the Jews. As a matter of fact, from the time that there is a Moab until the time that there is no longer a Moab in a time yet to come, you don't call it Moab today, but it's an Arab country still, the offspring of Lot through an incestual relationship with his daughter are still in existence today, and as long as they are, they're going to continue to be the enemies of the Jews. And her husband led her to basically a land of enemies, a land where they would not have been accepted. Bitterness causes you to blame God for your circumstances. Bitterness causes you to overrate your past blessings so that you can exaggerate your current circumstances. You can make yourself feel worse because you can begin to reflect back and say, man, it was so much better back then. Yeah, I'll tell you something. When you get bitter in a relationship, you get bitter in your circumstance, you know what you do? And I know you've done this. You look back on the way it was before you got into the situation you're in right now, and you say, it was so much better back then. It was not. Because of your bitterness, you have overrated your past blessings. They were good, yes, and they were certainly better than what you're into now, but they're not that much better. What that has a tendency to do is cause you to live back there in the past blessings so much to reinforce your bitterness that you miss what God is trying to do in your life now. I'll tell you something else. Have you ever felt like saying, call me Mara? If you have, that bitterness not only caused you to blame God for your circumstances and overrate your past blessings, but it also caused you to miscalculate your present dilemma. Just like it did Mara. Just like it did Naomi. Look what she said. I went out full in verse 21, and the Lord had brought me home empty. That's not true. That's not true at all. Her present dilemma was not as bad as she made it out to be. She miscalculated her present dilemma. She was not empty. She was far from being empty. Look at verse 19. When she got back to Bethlehem, all the city was moved about them, and they said, is this Naomi? She had a whole city of people who were her friends. She had a whole city of people who were moved with compassion for her current situation. Oh, I'll tell you, there are a lot of people that have gone through bad situations who miscalculate their present dilemma because they forget that they've got friends who are compassionate with them and will console them in the present circumstance. I get emails from missionaries and emails from preachers whose families are going through difficulties. I get an email regularly from the wife of a former missionary friend of mine. He's still a friend, but he was a missionary. Now he's a missionary, if you will, to prisoners in the United States of America. His current situation is terrible. But she says over and over and over and over again, thank God for the friends we have. Thank God for those of you who pray. Just got an email this morning from a missionary up in Canada whose wife has cancer. Thank God for those of you who pray. I have a dear friend of mine who was a pastor that's living in Florida whose wife came to visit, and we got a chance to see her. And he says, thank God. And she says, thank God for all the friends. Is the present dilemma bad? Yes, it is a dilemma. Is the present health situation failing? Absolutely. But you know what? They're not empty. And neither was Naomi. She had a city full of friends. And you know something? Honestly, you're going through a situation that's not good right now. You may feel like you don't have any friends left in the world, but you do. And if nothing else, you've got the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You're not empty. Look again. She says here in verse 21, I went out full and the Lord hath brought me, what's the next word? Home. Again empty. She wasn't empty. She had a home. Do you realize that when Jesus Christ was here on the earth, he had not where to lay his head? Do you understand that? He didn't have any of his own possessions, a little bit of clothing on his back, but he didn't manage any money. Judas had managed the money. He didn't have a home. Not when he was in the ministry. He had to entrust the care of his mother to John when he was dying on the cross, because evidently Joseph had died and she was a widow. Jesus didn't have a home, but Naomi did. She said, I went out full of the Lord that brought me home again empty. She ought to be careful with that. And you ought to be careful that when you're in bitterness, it causes you to miscalculate your present dilemma. It's not as bad as you think it is. There are people today that are dying in hospital beds. If you're not in a hospital bed and you're at home, you know something? Your situation is better than theirs. I'll show you something else. She said, I went out full of the Lord that brought me home empty, again empty. She is very, very self-centered here. She had Ruth. She had Ruth, and after the story unfolds completely with what's going to happen to Ruth, the people in the city who are her friends who have not forsaken her during any of this trial say to her in Ruth chapter 4 verse 15, He shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. I'm telling you, empty. She went out with a husband and two sons and came back with a daughter-in-law that loved her so much, her friends in the city said to her, she's better to you than seven sons. And might as well say 70 sons, because once she said seven, you've got the complete quiver there. I'll tell you something else. She said, I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. She had a friend, she had a city, she had a home, she had Ruth, and I'll tell you something else she had Boaz. Verse 1 of chapter 2, Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. Listen, Boaz becomes a significant player in this particular story. And she did not consider this man of wealth, this relative of Elimelech, this man named Boaz, and the significance that he would have in her life and in her daughter-in-law's life. She miscalculated her present dilemma and said, I'm empty. She was far from empty. Friends, home, Ruth, Boaz. This is a terrible, terrible accusation that she's leveled against God. And may I say something to you? When you get bitter, it clouds your thinking, you see. It causes you to think that God is out to get you, and so you blame Him. You get mad at Him. And you overrate your past blessings, wishing you could turn back the dial. You'll never be able to do that. And miscalculate your present dilemma and exaggerating how bad the situation is. You only do it to keep yourself in bitterness. Bitterness is like a yeast. It's feeding on itself now. It's like a cancer. It's taking over. You've got to know this about bitterness and recognize you have carried the thing too far, and that's not all. Have you ever felt like saying, call me Mara? Well, this bitterness that is in you has caused you to also underestimate your future prospects. I mean, what you're basically doing is you're telling yourself, I'm hopeless. That's what Naomi said. I'm back here, and I'm just basically come back here to die. My situation is hopeless. You have underestimated your future prospects. Look what Naomi lost sight of when she said this. In verse 22, Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem, watch it, in the beginning of barley harvest. That means that they have barley harvest and they have wheat harvest in which they can glean and have something to eat for months to come in spite of the fact that they came back without any possessions. She underestimated her future prospects. This was going to give Ruth the opportunity for months to store up and to gather up. She wasn't going to have to beg from anybody. All the food they were going to need for their current year, not only the months in which they were gathering, but those that would survive those and go out beyond them. Listen, she also underestimated that she had, as we said, the near kinsman Boaz. Remember back now, when she talked to her daughters-in-law in verse 11, 12, and 13 of the same chapter, chapter 1 in Ruth, she said, why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. You know what she never did say there? She never did say, you know, there is the possibility, if one of you would consider this, that we have some near kinsmen back there in Bethlehem, and I'm not committing for them and saying that they will marry you, but I don't have to have children for you to be able to have a child and to marry within my family line and for me to be able to have offspring through the near kinsmen. She never even thought to consider that. She underestimated her future prospects. She forgot that there was a Boaz. And as a matter of fact, when you follow with me through the rest of this study, you're going to find out that there was even a kinsman that was nearer than Boaz, who could have redeemed and was willing to redeem the land. He just didn't want to marry Ruth. In other words, there was not just one option there. There was at least two options that we know of, and maybe some other kinsmen that could have done it. And Naomi never even considered the prospect that Ruth or Orpah or both of them could have married one of the near kinsmen and provided her with grandchildren through them, according to the law. Do you see what bitterness does to you? And the situation that you found yourself in right now is probably very much like Naomi's. You're wanting to go around looking for a pity party, and you're asking people to call you Mara, and you're going with the long face and the downturned lips and the sad puppy dog eyes and all these thoughts turned in on yourself, and your situation has not improved. It's only become more bitter, and you've only become more set in your way, and now God is more to blame for your circumstance than He ever has been before. May I say something to you? God is not to blame at all. The Bible never said that He killed Elimelech or that He killed Mahlon or that He killed Chilion. She's blaming Him, but God didn't do this. Listen, it was Elimelech that made the choice to leave the house of bread and go to the land of Moab. The bad things that happened to him happened down there. Don't be blaming God for the decisions that you've made that have led to the current circumstances. God's not to blame. Not in Ruth's case and not in yours. And quit overrating your past blessings. All you're trying to do is just churn the crank of exceeding misery and saying it was so much better than before you did this to me. And you keep bringing it up so that you can increase the bitterness and justify your anger. You've miscalculated your present dilemma. Things, if you will really straighten up and put a smile on your face, and I'm not just expressing that a happy face will take care of your deal, but if you'll start looking with some gratitude around the situation that you have, you might actually find out that things aren't as bad as you thought they were. They may not be what you wanted, but what's happened is you've quit looking for what God can do through the circumstances you're in right now, and therefore you're holding on to your bitterness, but you've got some things going on in your circumstances now that were at least as good as what Naomi had in hers. She still had friends, and so do you. She still had a home, and so do you. She still had Ruth, who was better than seven sons, and a near kinsman. Now, you need to start looking around your circumstances and start saying, listen, I am not going to live the rest of my life as a bitter person. There are some good things going on around me. I am far from empty, and I'm going to quit living in this pity party. And then quit underestimating your future prospects. Listen, when you've got God on your side, let me tell you something. There are things about your future that are far better than you have ever considered for one thing. Like the Lord said to the disciples, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus said in Hebrews chapter 13, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. He said in Matthew chapter 11, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. He said, listen, you can talk these things over with me. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. Listen, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Take no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day of the evil thereof. Boast not thyself of the morrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Take a look around. Listen, you have some prospects for the future. You are, if you're saved, on your way to heaven. You have Jesus Christ as your constant companion. You have the promise of God that He'll take care of you. You say, I just don't feel it. You know what your problem is? You have played your bitter pity party so long, you have to get all your preaching off the radio because you don't have a good local church. That's right. And this Christmas, you're all in despair. You're all so upset because everything's turned out against you, and you lost this, and you lost that, and this is bad. And you don't have a church family, so you don't realize how many friends you could have that could help carry you through a situation like this. Shame on you. a church on nearly every corner in this city, and I just can't find a good place to go. I guarantee you something. If you are a person looking to get closer to God Almighty through Jesus Christ, you're not just going to be leaning on people, but you're really going to start growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You want a place to serve and a place to love and a place to praise God and a place to raise your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, a place where you can truly, truly draw close to God and learn the Bible. You're missing out, man. This fellow that's talking to you right now pastors a church just like that. That's right, right here in Corpus Christi. You're going to get, in just a minute, the address, the telephone number. You're going to get the website and all that stuff. You are doing yourself a great disservice to stay there stuck on yourself in your house, Mara. You need to get back to being pleasant Naomi and getting in fellowship with some folks that will care for you if you're willing to put forth a little effort and put some of this past behind you. Do you understand that? Naomi got into a fix, and you find yourself in the same situation she's in, and you need to get out of it. Naomi's situation, beginning with verse 2, starts to drastically improve, and so will yours. And so will yours. If you will no longer be ruled by that bitterness that has so clouded your thinking. Think it over. Pray it over. See where God's leading you. You can't stay like this for the rest of your life. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. If you would like more information about our broadcast ministry or Bible Believers Baptist Church, we have two websites that are available to help you. For rebroadcast of our radio messages or for answers to nearly 200 of the most commonly asked Bible questions from our listeners, go to www.unknownbible.com. That's www.unknownbible.com. For information about our church and for an abundance of both Sunday school and Bible study material, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's www.my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. That's 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you. In the meantime, stay tuned each weekday afternoon at 4 p.m. right here on KCTA for The Unknown Bible.
Amen.